Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go into this morning. We're still in the subject dealing with knowledge that overcomes. There's certain things really that, and sort of really basic things that you have to know if you're going to have victory as a Christian. And we're just looking at things as we go along. You know, I was looking through this. Charles Capps has a book. Charles Went Home to Be with Jesus. And I bet that was a good home going when he got there. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just thank God for, you know, men like him that followed God. But he had a book out, How to Avoid Tragedy. That book, it's really an excellent book because there's things that if, and really I'm covering some of the things that he had talked about in that book we look at, is because if you're going to live a successful Christian life, you better know them, or you're going to go along the way of tragedy and you're going to have trouble. I mean, that's just it. And we're looking at these things. Now, we've been in our course here the last 2 weeks. We've been dealing specifically the area with unforgiveness and forgiveness and what the Bible says. And the Bible talks really different than most people are taught. Men have their idea about things. Is one of the things we do with we found in looking at this is it's a lot of people like the idea of, well, just ignore things, is because we're really a weak society in general, very weak. We don't confront things. This is one of the things that I'm just telling you why so many, there's a lot of people that don't like Trump, because the devil wants you non-confrontational. That's what he wants you, because so he can eat your lunch all the time. He can do your stuff to you, what he wants to, and he loves that. The people won't stand up and say, no, I ain't going along with that.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
No, you're supposed to just go roll over somewhere. And we need to have things that we deal with. And one of the things we need to deal with is with ourself. And this is one of the reasons that people get over into these areas, because Christianity today is not preached personally. It's not personal to people. There are certain parts we like personal. But you know, one thing about it, Christianity is about a changed life. It's about putting on God's life.
Amen.
And you know, I'm going to tell you what, it takes work.
Amen.
And if you don't, you know, that's why a lot of people don't come to church, and a lot of people don't, because it takes work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want a Christianity that, you know, I get saved and, you know, everything just turns out great. But, and life isn't like that. Life is not like that at all. You know, if life was like that, nobody would have to ever learn anything or any, life would just work out. It don't, you know. You got to work at it in life naturally. And so, To live and walk in this area, if you want to live a life of faith, it takes work.
Amen.
And that's what people don't want to do. They want to, well, I'm going to believe God and He's just going to do it. Well, get over there. Because loads of places in the New Testament tells you that you're supposed to do this and you do that. You put this on. It tells you to. And so we're going to talk about some of that you got to do. Because if you want to have success, you know, all of us desire the blessing of God. All of us want God's blessing in our life. But you know, as I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, used to use this saying all the time. He said, you know, the blessing doesn't fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree.
Amen.
They don't have it. You're going to have to do something about it to get it. You're going to have to get it. And so you're going to have to go after it. You're living in a world where there's an enemy. His name's the devil. And I'm going to tell you what, there aren't 10 bad spirits in this world. There's billions of them things in this world. And they're always trying to keep you from having the success God wants you to have in your life. And the blessing of God is something you're going to have to go after. You know, it talks about, Bible talks about laying hold. Yeah. You know, laying hold, you know, that's the idea. In one place it says about laying hold. It also is being steadfast. Or, in other words, something that's steadfast, you got to really grip on.
Amen.
And you know what? The blessing, you got a grip on it. You got to hold it.
Hallelujah.
Because there's always somebody who wants to take it.
Amen.
You know? You know, it's sort of like with Trump, you know, and the idea of bombing Iran. He's like taking hold. He's getting a grip on things.
Amen.
Why? There's enemies of America and he's willing to deal with them. People don't like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, what if we go to war? Yeah, you might have to get out of bed early, poor thing. You know? You might have to do something one day. Yeah, poor thing. You know, I might be uncomfortable. Maybe, I might have to sacrifice something. Oh, we ain't into that.
Come
Well, I'm just going to tell you what. You're going to have to be sacrificial if you want to be, if you want to walk a Christian. You know, we talk about Jesus as Lord, but we got to figure out whose Lord is He.
Amen. Preach. Say that again.
See, He can't be my Lord without me allowing Him to Lord over me.
Amen.
And that requires my submission to Him. That's, ain't another way to do it. And so, I mean, we can run around. There's a lot of saved people, but there's most saved people don't have a Lord. Because having a Lord makes it a whole big different thing. It's altogether to have a lordship than just a saved. See, many people want out of the fire, but they want to live like they're in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, we want to look at some things here. I want to look at some scriptures here about dealing with the area because of the importance of forgiveness. But we're going to, our major subject, we're going to look at you look at the altar today. We want to look at something. In Mark the 11th chapter, very familiar scripture, Mark 11:23, we're going to start reading there. I just want to go through this because it tells us here something. You know, the first part, people really like this when Mark 11:23, he says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them." Yahoo! And it is cool. It's wonderful. But he goes on to say, "And whenever you stand praying," or whenever you use Mark 11:24, "if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So it definitely tells us something. In other words, there is a hindrances to prayer, to answer prayer.
Amen.
He didn't put this in here because there wasn't anything else to say. He put this in here for an importance. Because I will tell you, Mark 11:23 and 24 won't work for you if you're not a forgiving person. He goes on to say, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." See, this is one of the things we need to understand about this, about ourselves. So in other words, there's something about us. To obtain, it's about us. You know, one thing the Lord spoke to me, I was, you know, it's one thing when I go out and walk and run and stuff like that, I don't know why it is that God talks to me a lot during those occasions. But He was speaking to me about this in this area because, see, a lot of people are in these situations where, you know, they're saying, "Well, I'm believing God," but there's things to be corrected and they're not being corrected.
Amen.
There's things in their lives that need correction and they won't correct it. And on the other hand, they're trying to believe God. You know, don't pray for other people when you don't want to let God fix you.
Amen. Say that again.
Yeah. People trying to do it. Oh, yeah. We're praying this other person gets straightened out. And God's saying, "Boy, I'd sure like you to." You know.
Amen.
But, you know, over the past couple of months, God's been dealing with me about me. You know. Here's one thing He said. Many people today, He told me this. He spoke about this week. He said, many people, they want something greater. They want something more. And he said, people are praying. They want a move of God. They want this. They want this thing. There's something that people are after, but they're not changing. He said, it's going to require people to change to meet the qualifications to have what they want.
Amen.
Now, this isn't something bad. You know, just think about it. Like we should do in an educational system. I mean, if you want to attain to a certain thing, you should have to meet a certain standard.
Right.
You know. But we, somehow in Christianity, people don't think you have to meet a standard. And just because, well, I'm believing God, He'll just do that for me. Well, it doesn't work that way. Because, see, I can do things that hinder God from being able to do that. So here's the thing where we find out here. God's great desire to answer prayer. He wants to. He wants that your confessions come to pass. He wants that. That's His desire. So He tells you just simply, well, and especially, unforgiveness, isn't amazing that He specifically mentions that one, so that's got to be an important thing.
Yes.
And you know what? More people have it than they realize. More people have it, unforgiveness, than they realize toward other people. Because you can tell, as soon as certain things, you bring up certain subjects, and boy, people will just jump on certain people about, well, this person, yeah, they do this. Especially politicians, boy, we jump all over them. You know, we're mad at them and what they're doing. You know, we're not very forgiving in that area. You know, they do bad, but see, we still, you know, we can't hold ill will. They're doing stuff. I don't like it, but I got to watch myself. I got to watch myself. Mm-hmm. And you do too.
Yes.
Need to be careful what people do. You know, they do wrong, fine, but you got to watch yourself. Why? It's going to affect your prayer life. You know what? Don't affect theirs at all. Mm-hmm. It affects yours. Don't affect theirs. See, you think, well, yeah, they did wrong, blah, 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 blah. Well, you're doing wrong too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what a meddler. I'll tell you, I can really meddle. But I want you to see something else, because this isn't the only thing Jesus said about that. He picks a side, he went on the side there of forgiving. But in Matthew, in the 5th chapter, Jesus said this. Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 23. These were good ones for you to mark in your Bible so you remember when you go there to look at those. These ought to be in the promise boxes. Then he goes on to this. Jesus said in verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. You see, many people are running to get... See, we're going to talk a little bit about this concerning the altar. It's good to look at this. Because when we talk about an altar, here in this instance, it's talking about... Now, this is under the law. Now, they had all kind of offerings that man brought to God. There was things that man brought to God. This is what they're doing. See, we're going to have communion here this morning. And one of the things I want to illustrate to you is because, in a sense, and sometimes it's called the communion table, is really the church's altar. And we need to look at this. Is what is this that we're looking at? Is because here we find that Jesus says this, that bringing your gift. Now, what they would do if you looked into the Old Covenant, they had all kind of offerings that they would bring and things that they would bring to the altar. And what they would do, they would bring them to the sacrificial altar at the temple. And then the priest would take those and they would offer those sacrifices. And there were sacrifices for all kind of different things that were done. They had to sacrifice, which was for sin. Now, they did one every year, but also they had to, if a person sinned, they were supposed to go offer one for their sin during that year period, you know? Just like we do, you know, if we sin, we're supposed to confess our sin. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, that's what they were doing, and they offered an offering for that. They had them. They had offerings for everything. You know, there were offerings for different kind of sacrificial cleansings and that stuff. You know, when a woman gave birth, within a certain amount of days, she had to have a cleansing offering that she did. All kind of offerings they had, things that people did, any way that people became unclean. You know, if you had touched a dead body, you had to, there was certain offering you made, and you had to go out and wash, you had to take your clothing off, wash those clothing, and go through these whole rituals of things that you did for cleansings that they had under the law. There was a sacrifices for healing. There was ones that were given. You go over and you read the one about the leper, and there was a certain things that they had to do. That's why Jesus, under the law, told the lepers to go to present themselves to the priest. See, he followed the law, but they didn't. You know, the people didn't go to the priest. They went off and told everybody else. They broke the law. See, there was things that they had to do to walk and be in these cleansings. There were sacrifices for worship and blessing. Those things, or, you know, God blessed you, did certain things. There were sacrifices that you gave to God just to worship Him. There were sacrifices of worship to God that were done in the temple every day. There were sacrifices every day of worship to God. And those things took place. There was a morning and evening sacrifice of worship to God that was done. And so people individually would bring them. And so we found in Matthew, Jesus said, this guy came and he had an offering. You know, maybe he was there. He was blessing or wanting to be blessed, or he's worshiping or doing something. And God says, hey, hold it. Go make this thing right. You know, don't come and worship me if you're not getting this stuff right. See, people need to, we don't think much about this stuff. We don't think much about these things or take them into mind. You know, we just, well, you know, everything's all right. You know, there's one thing, and I made mention of this in the forgiveness thing in things. You need to understand this. If somebody, I need to correct something with somebody, I can't just run and ask God to forgive me. I need to go to the person and fix that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, we don't do this. People say, well, I asked God to forgive me. Yeah, but did you talk to the person? If you didn't, understand this. God is not going to forgive you on that deal till you correct it. See, there's things that we sometimes need to correct, you know. Sometimes there's things that are done and have to be corrected in I don't know about you. Sometimes you just have to swallow your pride and go. If you've never had to done that, if you don't ever do that, my God, maybe yours just some more spiritual than Ed. I don't know. I've had to repent now and then, and to somebody else I've had to. And we need to understand the importance of these things. In doing them. Now, we want to look at the New Testament because the New Testament does talk about certain sacrifices that we do. We're going to look at three basic ones that we want to look at here that are hugely important that we are supposed to do. Now, one of the things the Bible talks about this is the sacrifice of praise. Now, in Hebrews, this is mentioned in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 15. It says, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now, I had taught on this before is one of the things. That word there, giving thanks, isn't really what the Scripture says. That word's not translated. That word means to confess or confessing or confessing. In other words, the fruit of our lips, confessing the name of Jesus. This is what we're talking about, the name. Let's confess it. You know, the church, if you want to praise God, you want to give praise to God, give praise to that name a lot. Give praise to that name. Do you know that name? It's an amazing. Understand, all prayer is answered under the authority of that name. Everything from the Christian standpoint of what we call Christianity is under the authority of the name of Jesus. It all operates under that name. That name is the authority. That name backs up all the power that does it. You know, over the years, I mean, it's number one. I've watched the name of Jesus in the areas of healing, sitting and reading and listening to testimonies of people. You know, we turn around. We like some kind of like long, drawn-out prayer or something for somebody over healing. You know, let's do some intercession, and we want to do that. But there's loads of people been healed by no more than the pronouncement of that name. The Bible says this, we lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, he'll be healed. It didn't say pray. We got to pray. No, it said lay hands on the name. The name will do it. Peter said, faith in the name made this guy whole. He didn't say faith in my long prayer. And all the words. There's loads of people who have been healed and delivered by no more than people standing over them and pronouncing the name of Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus. Just that name, Jesus, Jesus. See, we need... Heaven responds to that name. They don't respond to you because you're you. They respond to us because of Jesus. And get that within ourselves. So getting over there and do that, this is one of the things. The sacrifice is praise. Well, you know what, really, from the sacrifice, a lot of people say, well, sacrifice means you're giving something that you don't feel like giving. Well, if you're operating by your feelings, you ain't in faith anyhow, probably wouldn't do you any good. It isn't my feelings has nothing to do with it. You should always have in your heart praise for the name of Jesus. Amen. If you don't, you better have another dip. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. See, sacrifice is in the Bible. The sacrifices that God required in the old covenant, that wasn't people giving what they didn't want to give. That was giving what God told them to give. This is what I want you to do, you know. I didn't sacrifice going to work when I, you know, worked at H.B. Riggs Candy Company. That was required to do there and show up so I could get a paycheck. I didn't get up in the morning and say, well, I just really don't feel like it. You know, those people don't feel like it. Most of them, I like to slap them. You know, get over your stupid self. You know, this is why you don't, this is why you have all these dumb feelings. It's because you live by them. No, this is what I got to do to get money. And you know what? I like the money better than my feelings.
Amen.
So this ain't no sacrifice. You know? Oh, man, I got to go back to work. Oh, God, they got to put up with you when you get there. Gee, that's what I feel sorry for. That's a sacrifice. Oh, I get meddling good. I don't know. But that is, it's like, hey, you know, to me, it is no great sacrifice than when there's something that I really want to attain.
Amen. Preach.
I don't get, well, I got a sack. Hey, man, that's more important than how I feel about this.
Amen. Amen.
People's feelings are more important to them than what they say they want.
Amen.
No, mine ain't. Hallelujah. Now, there's another sacrifice, and that sacrifice is about giving to the ministry. There's a sacrifice. Paul wrote about it. Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 18, Paul said this, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." See, that's in our giving at all. You ought, every time you give, my God, this makes God happy. He loves the smell of my cash.
Amen.
He likes the smell of my money. Hallelujah. Amen. It's well-pleasing to Him. When I'm giving to ministry, when I'm giving and that stuff, gifts to fulfill the ministry, praise God. Hallelujah. Heaven's going, ah. Gee, did you smell Ed's money today? Ah, love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Everybody wants blessed. But you know, it's well pleased. We do things to people to keep them happy. These are things that make God happy. We turn around and worship that name and praise that name of Jesus. Our giving. The heaven loves it. Don't we want to please our Father? We should never look at giving as any kind of grudge. Oh, if I give, I wonder if I'll have enough back. Hey, you're giving to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He likes the smell of it. I'll tell you, if anybody I want to keep happy is God.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't top of the list. That's what we do. Run around and try to keep everybody else the top of our list. No, I want God to be happy. I want God to have a good odor in the morning coming up to Him. Don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. How do you think heaven likes that when the earth is proclaiming the name of Jesus? Can you imagine what that sounds like to heaven?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you what, if you want to know why angels don't hang around you, that's probably one of the reasons. How you treat Jesus will determine what angels will do for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heaven loves the name. Hallelujah. Well, here's one and we have to do, and I believe is for us on this side is the most important thing that we could do. And that is Romans 12:1. This is a sacrifice that we're supposed to do. This is a sacrifice. Romans 12:1. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, one of the things, I will guarantee you this, to live the life of faith, this is the hardest thing you're going to work on. This is it. This is it. This isn't working out. This is keeping your flesh under and not allowing it to do things that it wants to do that it shouldn't be doing. And that your flesh would obey what God wants you to do and then what you would like to do. Doesn't mean what you like to do is bad, but if it isn't what God wants you to do, it's bad.
Amen.
See, bringing our flesh under, you know, is we've talked about this over in the areas we're a comfort society and we don't like anything that makes us uncomfortable. We don't like people who make us uncomfortable, especially if they're right about our discomfort.
Preach.
We don't like them. You know, I heard this saying way back yonder when I got saved. They said, God will usually send you a person with a personality and a package that you don't like to tell you exactly what you need to be hearing.
Amen.
See, the average person will go to church at a place where they say, "I like the minister. I gave that up a long time ago."
Yeah.
I don't go because I like him. You know, I'm going to tell you what, if you give to a ministry because you like them, you ain't giving to God anyhow. You give to God because you're giving to God. I don't give God, I don't give it to people. I'm giving my money to God, whether I like it or not. It isn't about what I like. See, we're all tied to personality. A person don't have a personality that we like. We cut everything off. We don't pay no attention when they say, you know. Mm-hmm. No, because we want somebody. Hey, Jesus, they didn't like. We act like Jesus was this sweet little guy walking around the sheep all the time. Man, people got mad at him. They didn't like him. Mm-hmm. Wow, he wasn't the package they wanted. Mm-hmm. God showed up, but I'm sorry, we got a different one. That's in the church today. Most of the church has a different God. And anybody shows up and knows the real God and they're all mad.
Amen.
Don't tell us about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a God and I can let my flesh go and I can do the things I like to do and I do what I want to do and I have my rights. Don't you know? I'm an American. I got my rights. Well, see if America saves you.
Amen.
See if America saves you when Jesus comes.
Amen.
No, it ain't going to save you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, you know, I have a constitution. Right here it is.
That's right.
This is mine.
Hallelujah.
That's why I'm a good American citizen. See, I don't have to see the Constitution. I don't have to read it in America Amen. To be a good citizen. If I follow this book, I'm a good citizen.
Amen. Preach.
That's why we have a lot of people not good citizens. They don't have to break the law all the time.
Amen.
People who scream about people breaking the law, they break the law. Complain about the others breaking the law. Hallelujah. Praise God. It don't matter. You breaking man's law, if you don't follow God's, it don't matter. Oh my. But this is what we're going to have to do. Now I want you to see this because we're talking about an altar. We're coming to an altar and we want to see this. See, in the Old Testament, they had this altar, this physical altar they came through that they gave sacrifices and a priest took them, that a priest would take that and would offer that. We need to understand is the difference between we here as Christians are. We as Christians, we're the temple of God. You are. You're the temple of God. So we're the priests. We're the temple and we're the priest. We are the temple, we're the building, and we are the priest. Now, so we're the ones. So we need to understand, in this thing that we're in here is because we're the priest. So we're the altar. And to us, we need to understand, we come to the communion table. And I want you to understand this. Now we're talking about sacrifices, but when we come to the communion table, we're dealing with the highest sacrifice that there ever was or ever will be or ever is or whatever. We need to understand, we're coming to this sacrifice. We're not giving it. We're coming to it. This sacrifice. This is the greatest sacrifice there ever was. And we're coming, we come to this thing and we should be coming in worship and celebration of what that is. What does that entail? You know, the most of you, well, Jesus died and he rose from the baptism. That's it. And I'm going to tell you, it is shameful. It is shameful at our approach to this because no other group. Now, you can get sinners will go ahead and go to church. They'll play the communion thing in there. Terrible thing to do because many of them end up weak, sick, and die prematurely because of their treatment of the great sacrifice. These are the emblems that Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose and is now King of Kings, and He is ahead of the earth. Father God does not answer your prayer only under His authority. So you better treat Jesus right. These elements represent Jesus Christ. How we treat them, because we need to understand what this sacrifice brought us is the most phenomenal thing. You can't get your mind around it. Yet the church almost knows nothing about it. They don't believe in it. Most of it belongs to them. They don't know what belongs to them. So we need to, because of that, this sacrifice of communion, everything that you could ever desire, want, need, ask for, belongs to you.
Amen.
Because of this sacrifice. I mean, Amen. Think about that. Think about that. So when we talk about that, now I want you to think about it. Because when we're asked about the sacrifice, you know, of confessing Jesus' name, we're asked about giving our money. when we're asked about dealing with our flesh, That is spit. That ain't worth nothing compared to the sacrifice. It ain't worth nothing. Yet we, well, this is hard to do. Boy, I'm glad Jesus wasn't a whiner.
Amen.
I'm glad Jesus didn't say, you know, Ed, I'd sure like to save you, but it's hard to do. Good luck. It's good luck. I'm going on vacation. I will see you then. I'll be back. And see, when we compare the glory, this is one of the things, and I want to get us to look at is this. Because we need to get our mind wrapped around this thing about this communion table, of what it offers us. Of we have got to the point, and the Lord dealt with me this week about this, about the church. Not with us here, just but the church in general. People know a lot of things about the Word, but they aren't living the faith life. Confessing the Word, but we're not living the faith life. Why? The faith life requires a commitment. You understand this? Everything of God's blessing requires a commitment to get it. There's a level of commitment to take a hold of it. Everything. But to me, the prize is so great. The blessing is so phenomenally extraordinary that compared to what I'm asked to do is nothing.
Amen.
It doesn't even match to it. You see, this is what you got to. We got to get. You got to get a bigger vision of salvation. Mm-hmm. See, most people, I'm just good. I'm going to have a good life, and I just want to go to heaven. And that's it. No, I want to serve God.
Amen.
That's top on the list. Mm-hmm. I'm His servant. If I'm not His servant, therefore He is not my Lord.
Amen.
Jesus isn't called to serve you. And see, we need to get that. Now, God wants to bless us. And, you know, I thank God for all the wonderful things He's done in my life and things I've been able to do because and have blessing in my life. I'm so thankful. But it comes down to this, it's all Him. And to attain more, there's things that I can see. And I would like to step into, but I see there's more of me to lay down to take a hold of more of Him.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, there's nothing else. They're just what it is. It's people have sacrificed. You know, one of the things is in our children's ministry, and maybe the adults, we ought to start having them to read those books because of what people sacrifice to take the gospel. I'm going to tell you what, I learned this. See, I went on the mission field. I remember, you know, going on the mission field. And when I first started going places, first thing I learned this is American Christians are the biggest whiners and moaners you ever heard in your life and don't have near the faith they think they do. Because when you go out there and you find out the rest of the world's going on, it's like, oh my God, and I was complaining. I'll never forget standing in the devil's mouth in Lima, Peru. And seeing that horrid place and those people living there. And the first thing I did was I stopped and said, Lord, forgive me for all the times I complained.
Amen.
All the times I griped and moaned. I didn't know what trouble was.
Amen.
I had no idea.
Amen.
I mean, dear God, these people are living like this and you're there and there's about a million people living there like that. Today there's probably more than that. It's like, oh my God. Look at this. And I was complaining, you know, about my little discomforts that amounted to nothing.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, God. Poor old Ed had a bad day. Poor old Ed. You know, things didn't go my way. And I just... Man, they woke up in the morning and nothing was going. And you know what? They were going to wake up the next day. And the only hope they had was the next day is we hope the next day ain't quite as bad as the one I just had.
Yeah.
That was theirs. They didn't have a government to go take care of them. They go cook wine too.
Yeah.
They didn't have some representative to go complain about. He said, the government ought to do something. Mm-hmm. But we're trusting the Lord, you know. Well, those things happen. You judge yourself often.
Yes.
And I've learned that going out and I look at other people and I look where they're at and I think, my God, am I a blessed person or what?
Amen.
Amen.
I just tell anybody, you want to meet somebody that's blessed? Come over and shake my hand. I'm a blessed person.
You can,
hallelujah. I'm blessed. And there's all kind of blessed people, and you never know it because they complain all the time and are blessed. Mm. Always got something to gripe about.
Amen.
Well, but I want to look at you this because we're going back over to Romans 12 again. I'm going to read there one again. He says, I beseech you, brother, therefore, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the Lord spoke to me about this, because this scripture He gave me, I wasn't going to use this week, and the Lord spoke this to me. One of the scriptures you'll see that I have down in the bulletin, it deals with Peter. Peter wrote about the man and the wife submitting to the husband, and then it goes on as if you have a husband that said who won't follow God, how do you reach him? And you don't reach him by complaining to him all the time. It tells you what live out of your spirit, you know. Don't do things from the natural. Then it says in the man, it says likewise husband, and it tells the husband's conduct toward the wife. And it ends to this thing of this. So your prayers aren't hindered. You know, if you ain't going to follow the Bible, your prayers are going to be hindered. Why? See, it requires us to take our flesh and put it on the altar is one of the things, because we got to deal with our flesh. The Lord spoke to me this week about this because, you know, we deal a lot, and rightfully so, is dealing with the renewing of the mind. And the Lord said this to me. He said, do you notice I put presenting your body before the renewing of the mind? I said, well, yes, sir, I see you did. And, well, I've never heard anybody say that. He said, I put presenting your body. And so the Lord has wisdom in it. See, we need to understand this. We got to commit ourselves. There's no good if you're not committed. You know, if you're not committed to keep your flesh under, you're never going to renew your mind.
Amen.
The whole point of renewing the mind is maintaining the flesh. And if you like your flesh doing what it does, and it can just, and it don't have to change, well, then I don't know. But. We don't make commitments. See, this is one of the things that people do. People are afraid to go to God. I'm going to tell you, Christians are afraid to go to God and say, I'll tell you, I'm just going to commit my flesh to you. I'm going to just do this. I'm going to give my flesh as a sacrifice.
Amen.
I'm laying it down today. See, Amen. People are afraid to say that. Because I've heard people say, well, what if I do something wrong? They're afraid. Fear. Fear to say what the Bible tells us to do. Because why? Our flesh don't like it. And I am so committed to it, I ain't saying it. Number one, you can't get God's help to keep it under until you decide you're going to commit it. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to commit it often. You're going to have to do it often. You know, we're going to have to stop and say, you know, flesh, I ain't going to let you dominate. No, you're not going to dominate. No, you got away with it that time, but you ain't getting away. No, we're bringing you under. See, but we need to understand this. It requires the renewing of the mind, changing the way you think.
Amen.
You're not going to, if you're not going to commit your body, you're never going to get to the place where you're going to renew your mind. It'll never happen. You won't get there. There's a commitment to everything. You know, anybody who has really attained anything in life, being very successful, had made a commitment to head in a direction, and they didn't quit long already. No matter what happened, they just keep going after it and going after it and going after it. You can always tell the people who quit, because I can tell you why. They're not really committed.
Amen.
I watch Christians go along. They ain't committed. They start off, oh, this is all wonderful. This is all good and everything. And after a while, they're up and down all the time, in and out, you know. With God sometime, with God don't. You know, being in the church, and it all don't matter. You know, we can go up and down and in and out. Jesus loves me. Yeah, hell's filled with people Jesus loved, but He's there. God loves you. It doesn't mean you're going to get anything good. You may not.
Mm-hmm.
If God loved you God's love got everything good. Do you think we wouldn't be bombing Iraq? We'd all be sitting around, you know, in flowers and playing ukuleles, and we'd all just be, wouldn't we? I mean, my God, sitting on clouds playing harps and. It says God so loved the world. He loves everybody. But he definitely ain't down here fixing everything, is he? Why? Because it's our job to fix.
Amen.
We've been given the authority to fix this thing. We're getting the authority to bring things to bay. We have the authority, and we haven't been walking in it. It's number one, our flesh. You know, let me just say this about your flesh. And I said about talking, making the statements. You know, I make statements about, you know, having the flu, and I just say, I'll never have the flu. I ain't going to have the flu. Now, see, people turn around and think, well, you say that, you know, you just say that. You know what? You think voices don't talk to me? Do you think my flesh don't say to me,
right.
don't my flesh don't want me to say that?
Mm-hmm.
See, if you only say those things because you're real bold, you're in the flesh anyhow. Because you got to be able to say them. When the devil's saying to you, and your flesh is saying to you, well, what are you going to do if you get that? What are people going to think? Every time those thoughts try to come to me, yeah, and if you end up sick, what's going to happen? That's why people don't say it, and that's why you get sick.
Preach.
That's why it comes, and you can't get it off of you.
Amen.
It's fear of the flesh. The flesh is a big mouth. It don't like anything that may... I don't want people to not like me. So I ain't going to say anything because what happens? I say something and it don't work out. They'll think I'm a jerk. Well, you are a jerk. Get over it.
Hallelujah.
I know I am. Ask Wanda. She calls me that every once in a while. Hallelujah. Well, so does it's true. I just. Well, we got to get over and be. We get afraid. To confess what the Bible says. The Bible
Amen.
Says you're healed and we're afraid to say it.
Amen. Preach.
Why? We won't lay the flesh on the altar and say, shut up and burn.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Say, cut that throat now.
Amen.
We don't do things. And then we want this big explosion of God. But our flesh makes us afraid. We gotta make our, you know, you gotta slap your flesh down. You gotta tell it. We're trying to slap everybody else's down when we let ours run loose.
Amen.
Getting this boldness. You know why? We don't know what that altar's really about. I just got saved and I'm just nice and, you know, that altar is nothing but power.
Amen.
And it ain't nothing but glory.
Amen.
It's all it's filled with. And when we believe that, we get ourselves into faith. See, uncontrolled flesh will lead you to sin.
Amen.
That's what it's going to lead you to. It's going to lead you to sin. And sin leads to broken fellowship is what it does. See, broken fellowship leads faith that doesn't work. Leaves you with faith that doesn't work. It leaves you with unanswered prayer. Broken fellowship. See, sin will do that. See, we're dealing, when we deal with sin, what is sin? You need to understand what sin means. Sin is, actually the word is used, and people say, well, you know, sin, they make, you know, this thing about offense, wrongdoing, and all that kind of stuff. But actually that wasn't, it's used in the Greek language, if you look over and how it was used in the Greek language. It is to miss the mark or to error. And what its idea is this, because if you look at it in their writings and things, it's making a decision that leads to a bad outcome. That's what's sin. See, God gives man things that we should live by and walk by. Why? Because if we do those, we'll have a good outcome.
That's right.
Amen.
Sin leads you to a wrong outcome, one you didn't want. Have you ever had any of those? Or do I just have to tell my stories, you know? Or you haven't put your flesh on the altar yet to admit.
Amen.
No, I have outcomes that have not been good because of the decision I made.
Yep.
Missed the mark.
Amen.
Of what I wanted.
Amen.
Now, The Bible says this. Now, I want you to get this about sin, and you need to remember this. Don't measure yourself against others, the Bible says to, for this purpose. Is the Bible says, to him who knows to do good and does it not is sin. In other words, what you don't have knowledge of making a good decision on, you don't have knowledge of, you aren't held liable by God. No, I know this is true because I can look back as a young Christian and I think of things that God, you know, where I was believing God. Yeah, when I look back today, I say, boy, that was a wimpy belief on that. But what he did for me, because based on my knowledge of the time, what I had. He didn't hold me to the measure of what I know today. This is what some of you need to understand. Some of you folks have struggled with things, and the reason you're trying to still use the faith of 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you ain't grown up.
Amen.
You got to come to a higher level. This is not knocking anybody. It just is.
Amen.
You're going to have, you can't stay over in that area. We expect that among people, don't we? You know. Mm-hmm. You know, people are taught things and we expect they ought to walk in. You know, they're taught it. They ought to do it. See, there's errors, and we need to understand that. We want good outcome. Understand this. See, you got to get God through Jesus Christ. If anybody wants good outcome, it's God. He proved it by the sacrifice.
Amen.
And what that sacrifice bought to us, what is available. And so we need to get thinking right in these areas. That's why dealing with 1 John, we're dealing with the areas because sin breaks fellowship. When you and I are Christians, when we err, we break fellowship. And that's why dealing with 1 John, you know, the first chapter, deals with that area of confessing sin. And it's a confession of sin to the Christian is specifically for this purpose. It doesn't mean you're not saved, but the fact fellowship is broken when we walk in sin. If we go in darkness, we're in sin. See, like most Christians don't think it's any problem. They don't go to church. The Bible said don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Don't matter. It don't matter. They're erring. Now, as a baby, they might get away for that for a while, but you won't get away with it all the time. Why?
Amen.
We need to understand this. There is a corporate anointing in the church.
Amen.
Of Christians gathered together that the Bible teaches, the house built together. There's a power and anointing in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Will do things when you ain't there, you don't get.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Preach.
God has put in the church, he's put pastors and well, I don't need one. I don't have to have one. Even God put it. We don't consider that as a sin. That's not sin. See, sin, I didn't cuss, swear, and I didn't cheat on my mate, you know, and that stuff, and I don't get too drunk, and I don't, you know, I'm a pretty good person. And they sin it all the time. God's instruction, does God's instruction, to me going to church, I've always figured there's a blessing in it.
Yeah.
And you know what? There is.
Amen.
Because you know what? Most of revelation comes up around the body of Christ. You know what? Because of you folks here, revelation comes to me. God talks to me. It isn't just for Ed. It's for you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Why? It's because of the body. And the people that hang out and play in the sidelines, they don't get it.
Amen. Say that again. Say that again.
It don't. Now, I'm not being mean about it. It's the Bible. See, we're talking about error. We're talking about what is provided? Is this thing worth following this thing?
Amen.
This is what we decide. See, I found out, you know, the Lord, one of the things the Lord was talking to me because there's things that I gotta, you know, you think you have your flesh pretty good on the altar, but as far as you know, you do. You might, as far as you know. But he started showing me things and I thought, oh, there's some of my flesh that ain't on the altar yet. There's some of it that, and it's not from a bad standpoint, it's God wants to take me further.
Amen.
And he wants to take you further. Why? He wants to bless Ed and others more.
Amen.
That's what it
Amen.
Is. And if you ain't hooked in it, you ain't going to be the blessing. You're always going to be looking to get blessed. You're going to be the Bless Me Club church that we have today. You know, it's all about me getting blessed. You know, I go to church so I can get blessed. No, I go to church, hallelujah, cause I'm blessed.
Amen.
Big
Amen.
Difference. I don't come to church to get blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I bring a blessing with me.
Woo!
Glory to God. No, I'm always trying to get something. I'm always trying to give something.
Amen.
The giver's blessed.
Amen.
It's more blessed to give than receive.
Yes,
woo!
Yes.
Yes, see, the people come to church that got something, it gets on me too.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church. No, you don't need to. You can stay a baby Christian.
Uh-huh. Preach. Yeah.
Just go ahead. Stay a baby Christian. See, we're out here trying to take care of people that won't take care of themselves at all.
Amen. Say that again.
You know, pray for me, you know, pray for this, pray for that. Oh, forget it. My words. Don't waste my time. Say, we'll pray that the devil gets his hands off of you and you start following God.
Amen.
You follow God and you'll get blessed.
Amen.
I mean, it's the natural.
Amen.
You know, I'll be honest with you folks. I run around asking God for stuff all the time. I don't do it. Why? Blessing chases me down.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of things that we hold back because of the way we think. See, I'm never trying to get healed. Never. Why? The Bible says I am. Why would I try to get healed? People say, I'm trying to believe for healing. No, I ain't trying to believe for it. I believe I got it.
Amen.
Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a done deal. Amen. By his stripes, I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
I am healed. Do you know, if you ever heard the Holy Ghost talk to you, you know what he'll say? You know, time and time again, I've read things like after Smith's Wigglesworth and stuff. I always like his book. In fact, I'm reading through it again. I read some of it every night before I go to bed. I read his because he talks about it. And he talks about the fact of people. And even God speaking to people where Jesus appeared in a room. And he told a person, he said, you're healed. Well, see, people say, well, they got healed because Jesus said. No, Jesus was quoting what was true. That person was already healed. They had been in bed for 4 years and were healed the whole time.
Uh-huh.
But they only listened to it the first time was that day. Uh-huh. I was healed before I was ever born in this earth. Jesus Christ already took, before Ed ever got here. I walked around 30 years and didn't know it. In 1980, I found it out and ain't ever had the flu since.
Amen.
Praise God.
Flu don't show up no more. Why? I'm healed.
Amen.
Be careful, you might get something. Yeah, healing. Be careful. I'm careful. See, get yourself. This is why, if you get committing ourselves to God, our flesh, I'm going to tell you, you'll get revelation from God. God will reveal himself to you. If you want to keep your flesh under, if anybody's going to help you with it, he is.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's in you to help you.
Amen.
To quicken your mortal body. Mm-hmm. What do you think he quickens it to? For you to use it to your glory?
No.
He quickens it. He'll help me keep mine under submission to the Word of God.
Yes.
That's what he'll do. As many as are led by the Spirit, as many as are led by the flesh, many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is always going to lead you in line with the truth. I'll never forget in 1980 when the revelation came to me that I was healed. I'm going to tell you what. See, I was a baby Christian. I can't believe people read the Bible and stuff for 40 years and still don't know it. And they said, we read the Bible. Well, what for? You ain't getting nothing out of it. Why don't you read what the Word say?
Mm-hmm.
God said you're healed. You're still trying to get it.
Mm.
Get yourself in your mind's renewed by the Spirit of God instead of man. Get your thinking right. Why? Put your body on the altar. Hallelujah. We have too much body thinking.
Amen.
There's too much stuff. That is the reasoning that is made through our flesh, tied to the God of this world operating under. How the system of this world operates. We're too tied to things. We need to break free of this. Get ourselves under. Bringing into line. I want you to think about this here concerning, you know, now I just wrote this down from my standpoint, and I mean, you make these confessions yourself. But I want you to talk about this altar. Now, I'm going to have a list here of things that I'm just going to read off to you. Now, these are just some. This isn't the whole thing of what that altar did for me. These are, now I want you to get this. These aren't the things of the Old Testament. You need to understand this. Most of our worship today, a lot of worship and things that go on, and things of quotes that are made in worship are Old Testament and not New Testament. They're Old Testament worship. You know, Now, you know, we got clicky songs we sing and that. And one thing I found out, it's a hard time finding music that, and words that are right. You know, they singing songs saying, worshiping God, I give you my heart. A Christian can't give their heart to God. They already did that. It belongs to Him. It's His. Yep. Mm-hmm. What are we told to give? Does this Paul say, hey, you need to give your heart to God and renew your mind? Your heart belongs. I gave my heart to Jesus in January 1980. He's had it ever since. Mm-hmm. My spirit's been following after Him ever since that time. What am I supposed to give? I'm supposed to give, bring my flesh under. Mm-hmm. See, when people they go commitment, I always get this. Churches will have a commitment service, and then people are, Christians are giving their, Lord, I'm going to give my heart to you. Why? You a sinner? You ain't been for Him? What's wrong with you, you knucklehead? You know, people don't think twice about what they say. They talk of themselves as if they're a heathen. You're not a heathen. You're a child of God. See, I'm born again. I am a new creation. I am a child of God. I am God's temple. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm a king and a priest of God. I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Sin doesn't lord over me.
Amen.
I am healed.
Hallelujah.
I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am filled with the Holy Spirit and can speak in other tongues, a divine language. Supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost operate through me. I have authority over demon spirits to cast them out. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's some of the things. That ain't the list. That is some of the things I'm just telling you. I have because of that altar. It's what we're not trying to get it, folk. We come to communion because of what we have, not what we're trying to give. Throwing down my stupid flesh on an altar of glory ain't nothing compared to what I got out of that altar.
Amen. Amen.
These are the things that you have. This is what you got. Quit praying for them. Stop trying to get what God already gave. Receive it.
Amen.
Get it in. This is what it'll change. I'll tell you what. You'll want to slap down your flesh. You won't find it a sacrifice. So glad to do it.
Amen.
Do I want to follow the flesh or have that? Woo!
Have that.
See, that's what, I'm so glad that God told me to stay close to Kenneth Hagin's teachings. Because see, I found out what I had.
Amen.
And you know what? From that time on, I never wanted what I had before.
Amen. Preach.
If you want what you had before, you ain't ever run into Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, you might have heard about Him, accept Him as a Savior, but I done run into Him.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to tell you what He offered, amen, what He gave me, not I'm trying to get. We're not trying to get any of this stuff.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, I always wondered when after I got saved. I'm a baby Christian, and Christians are coming up before a church, and they're coming to church. I'm a baby Christian. They're going to mass. You know, we're going to do this and that. Pray with me that God will be with me as we go and keep me safe. And I say, what are we doing? God lives in me. He's going to be there. And He gave me authority because ministering spirits are ministering for the heirs of salvation. I say, angels, you just go before me and take care of me. I don't have to try to get God to do, oh God, wasting our time acting like we're trying to get something we already have.
Mm-hmm.
I have the authority to declare what I need and what I want.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is living in me. Asking God to go with you. It's like, the church generally, most Christians do not live anything like God's in them.
Amen.
We wouldn't do a lot of stuff we do.
Amen. Preach.
We do things act like God don't see us. And He's, you know, we hide it from people, but the guy who's really the blesser, it ain't the people. But we think hiding it from them, why? We're all about the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The God who pours out the blessing is the one that sees it all.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
See, He wants to take us to a such higher level, and it's a way of thinking. It's like, you know what? My flesh is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I know my flesh. When I was a sinner, what it yielded to, so much that was destroying me and my family. It was what, and I watch people, they get saved and just carry it right over into their, carry the same stuff over, get married. They do all kind of things, you know. They don't think about who they marry for 2 seconds, and they just get out around here and say, hold it. This is about the blessing of my life.
Amen. Amen.
I can do things in my flesh that I'll pay for the rest of my life.
Amen. Yes. Preach. Say that again.
This is why. You're the flesh and the devil, you need to understand this. The devil, that's where he comes to tempt you, is your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Devil, don't tempt my spirit. My spirit don't go along with you.
Amen. Amen.
Comes tempt my flesh. To try to get my flesh, you know. It ain't going to hurt to do that. Then you know what? Then you listen to him, and then what does he do? He condemns you.
Mm-hmm.
You did that, you ugly thing. People do the same thing. Don't worry about it. Did you ever notice that? The sinners want the Christians to live like hell, and if a Christian does, they criticize them for being a Christian and living like hell. That's why you know they're the devil's kids.
That's right.
They're the devil's kids. They act just like him. Hallelujah. But see, we need today to take a hold of this, about this altar. We're submitting our bodies. You know, it's like things, how do I, like submitting your body? The Lord asked me this about, you know, the church. Think from the church standpoint. God has given divine healing to the body. Do we submit our bodies to it? Basically, the whole church, most of all the church, they submit their body to a doctor 1,000 times quicker than they will submit it to God. But see, it's about my flesh. It's about this altar thing. How quickly? Now, I just want to, you know, there's one thing, like reading scriptures. I like people of the past, and I like to look because there's people who walked in levels of things that were way above the levels of what we even call good, really good ministers today. These people walked in levels. I mean, God's uses of them. Their level of believing. And you know, there's all kind of quotes and people make about different people and about healing and different things like that. But you need to understand this. A lot of these old timers, they never went to a doctor. They would totally submit their bodies to God. They'd never go to a doctor. Never do. Smith Wigglesworth would never go to a doctor. John G. Lake and those guys, they would never. They taught you submit yourself. See, John G. Lake up in New York, where up in Washington State, there were, he had his prayer rooms up there. They had over 100,000 people that were given up by medical science who got healed. 100,000. And they're documented cases. Documented cases. People given up. They submitted their self to God. If you wanted to go to his prayer rooms to be ministered to, you had to give up all medication and seeing the doctor. Oh, see, we love to tell, 100,000 people got saved. Yeah, what was the requirements? You had to throw your body on an altar. Look, I'm not against doctors, but I'm going to tell you what, I am against people, doctor first.
Mm-hmm.
As you as a Christian and you know about healing, the first thing you should be doing is talking to God about your problem. But then you might find out you have to bring your flesh under and that, oh, hold on, I don't want to do that. No. See, these are areas, you know, We talk about things. This is one of the things that the Lord, these are things that God talked to me about. You see, to go to a higher level requires a higher action.
Amen. Yes. Preach. Say that again.
You're going to have higher, in other words, your response to something is going to have to be higher. You're going to have to do that. See, as I learned, Kenneth Hagin said this, you know, and people, he wasn't against doctors, but he said this. He said, some Christians will die because they didn't go to the doctor, and some will because they did. God has an expectation on some people to stand. And they don't do it. See, we don't like to hear that. Those are the Kenneth Hagin quotes they don't use. No, they got all this other stuff they run around and say. But they need to do this. See, there's a level to walk to. One, see, this is what the thing, I don't know about You know, would you? But see, when I started listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, I realized this, that he was in a much higher level than I was. A lot. And even as I went along, there's things that listening to him, I've listened to a lot of his stuff that generally people, well, there's things that he had in the past they won't even record anymore and put out because the church is too tender today. And they want to keep it tender. That's how you keep people giving money. He has stuff and teachings that I'm going to tell you what, it'll skin you a little bit and make you repent. Say, Lord, I got to put my flesh under. I got to do something. But it was the whole point of this is this. It wasn't hurt anybody. I realized he had a place that he walked.
Amen.
I want to walk there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See, if you're happy where you're at, well, just stay where you're at. But you ain't going to go any further unless you want to go further.
Amen.
That's right.
And it's going to require something of us to do it. And when I was looking, I think, man, there's things that he talks about and make you hard to swallow. And, you know, but I realized he grew to go there. And see, as you develop, today I walk in things that he walked in and you know, it's not a problem at all to go there to walk it because you learn over time. But if you won't submit yourself over time,
amen,
you will never get there.
Preach.
It requires it. Yep. There's things, when I looked at the things that he said, and the boy was like, well, how do you get from here to there? Well, over time, God will teach you.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll submit yourself, he'll teach you. And after a while, you find yourself, man, I'm getting there.
Amen.
I'm starting to get there. The more I say, the flesh says, yeah, but I got to spend all this time studying and I got to seek God and I got to do, I don't want to do that. I'm busy. You know, I got a lot to do and places to go, people to see. And I got, you know, I got all this time because I'm going to get sick and I am going to need to go to the doctor. I need that time, you know, and I, cause you will.
Excuse.
Oh yeah, you will. Your time's going to get you. The devil's going to use your time up.
Amen. Say that again.
He'll use your time up. You'll go on vacation and come home worn out. The devil will use your time up. He'll get you to go on vacation. Not to relax. To go and wear yourself out because you got to see everything, do everything. You just can't. You just got to do it all. You know, we just good old Americans, you know. We can't go and relax a second. You come home and you're worn out and say, oh my God, I was tired. Well, we did all this stuff down here and you spent money to wear yourself out, you idiot. That's what you did. Good job. You didn't need a vacation. It was better at work. We talk about vacation. Americans ain't had one in so many decades. They don't know what it is. See, one thing I learned about vacations, we can go sit on a beach all week and not do
that's
a thing.
Right.
Just eat, and relax.
Amen.
Eat, relax.
Amen.
Not do anything, just eat and relax.
Yep.
Yes.
And don't invite people along who want to do something. Our biggest thing is, where are we going to eat tonight? That's the big mind, buddy. That's the big mind. Where are we going to eat? Now you go do things, but you ought to space something out. You don't do everything at once.
Amen.
Oh, we do.
Amen.
You got to do everything. Do all this stuff. Go wear ourselves out. You know, I'm going to go to an amusement park and wear myself out. Run. I can't wait to stand in the heat in a line for an hour to get on a ride. Boy, is this exciting. Well, it was a fun ride. That 20 seconds was wonderful. I'll tell you, it's a life memory. I'll tell you, I've been on rides, and I'm going to tell you what, ain't none of them that good. I like to ride that chair on the beach. Yeah, maybe get up, walk, take a walk down the beach. We'll walk a mile or so down the beach. Just relax and walk along. Yeah. My word. You might surprise yourself. God talked to you. I never heard many people tell me in an amusement park God was talking to them.
That's right. Amen.
You know, a vacation, God goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vacation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You hear from heaven. So I can sit on that beach. I'll hear things. You know, last time we were down shore, just sitting on a beach, and God gave me a sermon.
Amen.
Just sitting there.
Praise
you know what?
God.
I wasn't even reading the Bible another time. I was just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
He came and sat down beside me and talked to me. Gave me a sermon. See, that was worth a beach day. Hallelujah. You know why most people have to get so busy and do stuff? Because they don't like spending time with each other. Poor relationships, and they get busy. I got to stay busy because if we do, all I got is you to talk to. Uh-huh. Woo-hoo! I'm meddling too much. I'll just back up over here in the front. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. It's my life. He'll do what they do. They can't spend time around each other. Hallelujah. Oh, but we love each other. I love you so much, I don't want to spend any time with you. No more than I have to. Let's keep the noise going and everything. So we. Oh, what a meddling going on. But we're going to take communion here this morning. And as we do take these elements, I want you to think about what you're coming to today. This is such glory. Now in Israel, there were certain offerings that they took that the priests ate part of those offerings. Those offerings were given, and then the offering, the priest took this, and we need to know that we're the priests. We're partakers of this offering. And I like to put it this way, is because this offering is an offering not given by you. In the old, we look in the old covenant, God didn't give any of the offerings. Man gave them. We come and God gave an offering. And we're coming to this offering today. And as we come to this offering, I want you to understand. See, I read some of the things of just a benefit that we have of this offering. We're partakers of these things. We're not trying to get these things. We're partakers of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're one with this offering. That's the whole thing of we're eating and drinking something. We're doing it naturally, but it means to the fact of this, you're one with that offering and its blessing. This is why the church, it needs, this offering is for the church. The world shouldn't be doing it. And you know, I'm just going to say this, Christians that don't live right shouldn't be taking it either, if they don't want to live right. Because it's not going to benefit them at all. We come to this thing. This is a sacred thing. I just can't imagine. When I was just, you know, sitting and writing down some of this, I was going through writing lists, and I thought, my God, I could write, you know, this, God, what God does. It's a blessing of God. You know, I didn't write about the prosperity and all those things that belong to me, that are mine, because of this. I'm not trying to get it. It belongs to me. He has given it. It's my inheritance. You and I inherited what Jesus Christ won through His death, burial, and resurrection. You talk about an insane gift. He does all the work like He needed to be blessed. It was so you and I could be blessed. Amen. And the church has given it, and then people struggle about following the words of the covenant. We struggle with it like, oh God, just, oh man, this is tough. What is this tough thing is we've let our flesh go too much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's, and you know what I find the thing about my flesh? You let it go. It's harder lassoing it the second time, you know?
Amen. Amen.
You ever notice that? You know, you go to these, do you ever go to rodeo?
Yeah.
It's like when that little calf gets away or that bull gets away, it's always harder trying to catch him after he got out there.
Yeah.
See, you let your flesh go and after a while you gotta get somebody else to help come, you wrestle it down, you know? You get your rope out here and get a hold of this thing too, you know? And this is why, get a hold of it. Don't keep it. The more you let it go, the less chance you have bringing it under.
Amen. Preach.
You start doing it. Start saying, no, flesh, you ain't going to rule. God's word's going to rule me.
Amen.
The blessing of God is going to rule me. I'm not going to let the devil and my flesh steal my blessing.
Amen.
I'm not going to allow
that.
I'm not going to allow that. This blessing God gave us, it is for you and it is yours given. See, when we talk, well, salvation is free. I sort of don't like when people say that because it's so limited.
Yeah.
Because, well, what's in salvation? God forgave my sin. Oh, boy. It's like, take them out somewhere. Tie them to a tree and pray for them all night. Now, dear God, is that the best we can do?
Yeah.
As I got my sin? My sins were forgiven before I was ever born on earth.
Amen. Amen.
The church is saying that like it's some kind of great revelation. We tell the sinner. Do you tell the sinner that God already forgave them their sin? No, we're telling them, you got to ask God to forgive you your sin. That's what we go tell them. I said, I made your evangelist stand up and say that. And you think, my God, didn't you ever read the Bible? God's better than you preaching. Amen. He loves them more than you do.
Amen.
God's great.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He forgave my sin. That's, I mean, just the fact of this offering. He, in this offering, before I was ever born in the earth, He forgave my sin and He healed me. Before I ever came on the earth, nobody ever told me till I was 30 years old. How do we talk? And I tell you what, I was in more church services than little men with a lot of preachers that don't know the Bible. Mm-hmm. Read it for yourself. So I love Brother Hagin. He'd always tell us, don't believe because I said it, you go look in the Bible. What's the Bible say? And I'm telling you, if you ain't looking at what the Bible says and you're just listening to preachers, you done missed it. The Bible's the authority, not me. Jesus Amen. Christ is the authority of the Word, not me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love His Word because it's His authority.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He gave it to me to use. And I want to know it and understand what it says. I don't want a facsimile thereof.
Yes.
I want to know about the real thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to know the blessing of this great altar that we go to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That I can hear it. Hallelujah. We go and we should be so excited. I am one. I'm one with the body of Christ. I am one with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's just as if I died. It's just as if I was raised from the dead because I was. He raised me together with Him.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. I'm a new creation.
Amen.
That's communion. That's fellowship.
Amen.
You don't fellowship with God through just singing songs and doing stuff. You fellowship with God by talking to Him on His level.
Amen.
When you fellowship with a person, do you stand there and sing to him? Well, right! People, now that can be part of fellowship, but it ain't near the ball game. I fellowship with God by talking to Him about what He does, what He is, what He does for me, and that's fellowship.
Amen. How good He is.
You know, just singing "How Great Thou Art" over and over again. That's a short thing of what He is. I mean, that's hardly anything.
Amen.
No, I talk to Him and I brag on Him.
Amen.
I brag on Him. That's what I do. Because He deserves to be bragged on.
Amen.
He is phenomenal.
Amen.
He is incredible.
Thank
what
you.
He did.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, this is something the Spirit of the Lord brought up in me. Just meditate on the fact that you can ask the Father anything in His name and He'll give it to you.
Amen.
Now, don't meditate on it till you say, I know it. You don't know it when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep saying it till, my God, it becomes a truth. I'll guarantee you what it'll do. You'll get up and take a little dance and run around the room.
Amen.
Because if you ain't done that with Him, can you imagine God would give me anything that I would ask Him in Jesus' name?
Mm-hmm.
If you really thought that was true,
yes,
people wouldn't be struggling with prayer lives.
Come on.
We wouldn't be, well, we're trying to believe God. And, oh.
Right.
Well, when you get to know Him, you don't struggle.
Amen.
You meditate. I can ask anything in His name and He'll give it to me. And you know what? That was given to you, that sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Oh my. You know, I'm one with those words. If Jesus is the living Word of God and I'm one together with Him, I'm one together with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my. Ooh-wee. So you get a revelation on that. That'll put a run in your feet.
Amen.
You'll never tell people, I can't run. I can run and jump. Hallelujah. That'll put it in you. That's right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll do acrobatics. Might win an Olympic medal. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. But you'll get something to shout about.
Amen.
If you understand.
Yeah.
The altar that we have here.
Praise
this
God.
This has given us the greatest reminder. When the disciples were given that the night that Jesus was crucified, they had no idea what was coming. The glory that was coming. He spoke to them about things, but they never understood it. He spoke to them about doing the works that He did. They didn't get it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that was in this, yes, this altar that was, this altar. You know what? They didn't crucify Jesus, take Him down to that temple to those dudes down there. God hung Him. God sacrificed Him. God put Him on that cross. Man didn't. This is all in God's doing. It's not in man. You and I didn't have anything to do with this thing. We got all the benefit and had none of the doing.
That's power right there.
This is because this is when we talk about God so loved the world. It ain't this stupid love thing we have today.
That's
talking
right.
About love. Amen. People ain't got... This is love. Love beyond measure. Love that couldn't be figured out why somebody would do something like that. But that's what our dad's like.
Amen.
Our dad must be great because he's putting up with us. He must be phenomenal.
Amen.
That's right. I always tell him, thank him.
Yeah.
You put up with me. And you know what? I do dumb, you know, and he comes and talks to me. You know, it's like, my God, I don't even want to talk to me. And he does. He loves his kids.
Amen.
And it wasn't words in a book. It was in his doing. The words in the book will bring you into the place of seeing and knowing and walking
Amen.
In the doing.
Amen.
Until you can walk in the doing, they're just words in a book.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, we're coming today, Lord God, to these elements that our Lord Jesus Christ, your wonderful Son and our Redeemer, Savior, and Lord, gave. And Lord God, I just want to thank you. Father, and I ask you this for myself personally. Forgive me, Lord, for not meditating on the fact of the greatness of this wonderful sacrifice. And all that it has brought. Lord God, it is so incredible. It's almost to the human mind it would seem a fantasy. But it's not a fantasy, it's truth.
Yes.
It's the truth. And I just want to thank you that truth today, Lord God. We're taking this, Lord, we're reaching out today to these elements, Lord God, with a higher understanding. With a higher appreciation and love for our Master. And I just want to thank you for being so kind to reveal these things to us. And so merciful. Lord God, you had every reason at times to get maybe fed up with us, but you just keep revealing yourself to us and showing yourself so kindly. And I just want to thank you. Lord, I thank you for giving us a deeper appreciation for Jesus Christ. And a deeper and a greater love for what He and His wonderful work and all that He suffered so we could have all His greatness. Father, it's an incredible thing. It's love that the mind can't grasp and the mind doesn't get a hold of, but our hearts know it's real. Our hearts do. Ha. And as we take these elements today, I thank you, Lord God, we're just going to celebrate the goodness of our Jesus, the goodness of our Lord and Master and what He did. And we're going to praise Him for it and glorify Him because it was His willingness to come and do all of this for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Lord, it would be enough if the only thing we got out of this thing that we could fellowship with Him. Because Lord God, to be able to fellowship with this wonderful Master. But Lord, when you dumped the cookie jar on us, you did the whole thing. You dumped all the cookies. Hallelujah. You didn't tell us, take one. Hallelujah. You gave us every one in the jar. And I want to thank you, Father God, today. It's all because of our wonderful Master, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.